Good morning. I know I said that already. I'm sorry. It is good. You're right. Don't you love when you're reading the Gospels and you get to a part where a Pharisee or a Sadducee or some other person with power or authority is trying to test Jesus or catch him out? And Jesus gives like a one-sentence response that's just the most devastatingly cutting truth. Like, I love it. And I call it a mic drop Jesus moment. Like when they test him in Matthew 22, and they ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Without missing a beat, he replies, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. But before they can even breathe, he's like, oh, and guess what? There's a bonus greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the mic drop Jesus moment. Now, Jesus also talks about loving our neighbors in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm so glad this isn't working. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is not a mic drop moment because it is longer than a moment, but it is absolutely full of devastatingly cutting truth. And it's so good. So if you ever find yourself, you know, wanting to read some scripture, but you're feeling kind of picky about it, would we do that? Yes. Like, you don't want to start at the beginning, and like, I'm not smart enough to read a prophet or a parable. And we just did Christmas and Easter, and I have worn out the Psalms, right? Let's face it, this year has been insane. Hashtag fix it, Jesus. But if you're feeling picky, may I suggest you try Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. It starts out with the Beatitudes, and I don't think I've ever read the Beatitudes without it taking my breath away. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse 43, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven. And I read this and I thought, wait, was there a time when we were allowed to hate enemies? Like, did I miss something back in Deuteronomy or Leviticus where God gave us permission to hate, and now Jesus is taking it back? Well, the short answer is no. And the longer answer is, no, of course not. Jesus doesn't say, you have read in the law, dot, dot, dot. He says, you have heard it was said, dot, dot, dot. And he says this a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have heard it was said. Because over hundreds of years, the Jewish leaders had taken God's law and added things to it to benefit them. And I wonder how God felt about that. And I wonder how God feels when we do that. How often do we use God's word to justify our hatred, dislike, or apathy for other people? And we see it a lot on the news and on social media. Someone quoting scripture to the exclusion of someone else, and to give them permission to treat other humans as second-class citizens. And do you think there are any second-class citizens in the kingdom of God? When we use scripture, God's words, to exclude or to justify our hatred, contempt, dislike, or apathy toward other people, we are saying, God hates who I hate. And what we're doing is making ourselves God, and we are making God in our image, and we are idols. So Jesus, God incarnate, says here in the Sermon on the Mount, basically, let me clear up this rumor for you. He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. And he's telling us that we cannot hate in the name of a God who is love. Full stop. No loopholes. So will God justify our hatred of gays or Muslims or Nazis or world leaders with fragile egos or people who hurt us or people who scare us? The ones who break the law? The dude who cut you off in traffic but acted like it was your fault? Or the cashier at Wendy's who gave you the stink eye? Like, what was her problem? No. The answer is no. God will not justify our hate. You may not hate in the name of God who is love. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors and our enemies. And this sounds exactly like something Jesus would do. He's always changing our perspective on words. He says, the first shall be last, and the last first. Basically, negating rankings and making first and last equal. Or he tells the disciples, if you want to be great, you must serve. If you want to be first, you must be a slave. He does this all the time. So it is not surprising at all that he would take these opposite ends of the human spectrum, neighbors and enemies, and erase all notion of what the difference between them is by commanding us to love them all and pray for them all. He takes neighbor and he takes enemy and he erases those labels with love. So let's talk about love for just a minute. The New Testament was translated from Greek, and the Greek language has several words for different kinds of love. And they have a word that means a deep friendship love, and they have one for a sexual passion love, and they have one for self-love. But the Greek word of love here, when Jesus says to love our neighbors and our enemies, is agape. And this love is unconditional love. It's the covenantal love that started with God. He first loved us, and we reciprocate this love back to him. It's the love that God has for man and man for God. And this unconditional reciprocating love is the love we're supposed to be loving each other and neighbors and strangers and enemies with. And I don't mind telling you that my response to this is, uh-oh. Because we are failing this. And I know this because I have watched the news and I have been on social media this week. And I did not see a lot of unconditional love. It's really gross out there. And I want to avoid it all. I want to stop watching the news. I want to stop reading the paper at work and Time Magazine. And I don't want to get on Facebook to see what the people I know and love are saying to each other, because that's the scariest thing of all. It is a minefield of surprises, actually. Here's how mine goes. I'm scrolling, and it's like, oh, a cat video, another cat video. Man, that 8-year-old can really play the guitar. Michigan still has cancer water? How have we not fixed that yet? Oh, a puppy. Yo, I think Aunt Linda is a racist. I did not know this. And I want to hide from it all. I want to avoid it. And I want to put cotton in my ears and go, la, 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 I can't hear you. But Jesus didn't say, fear your neighbor and fear your enemy. He commands us to love them both unconditionally. If you have ever attended a Christian wedding, and I am sure you have, then I bet at some point during the service, someone recited 1 Corinthians 13, starting with the 4th verse. And you know the one. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's totally standard wedding fare. But Paul wasn't writing about weddings and marriages. He wasn't writing about romantic love at all. Can you guess what kind of love he was writing about? It was agape. And this is why we can't ignore the world as much as I would like to. This love isn't an emotion. This love is action. Paul writes, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It does not insist on its own way. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is the love we are commanded to give. It's an action. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. The prayer is an action too. Now, I admit, loving my neighbor is hard enough. I don't even know how to love an enemy. But I do know how to ask for help. I think at least once in every gospel, they mention a time where Jesus is with a big crowd. And it will mention that Jesus sees all of these people. And it says he has compassion on them. In Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. His compassion allows him to see them, really see them. And he saw that they were harassed and helpless. And do you know what Jesus does after this? He gives his disciples authority over demons and the power to heal every disease and affliction, and he sends them out. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus and the disciples, they're trying to find some peace and quiet, but a crowd shows up. And you know everyone is probably cranky by this time. Verse 34 says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And then it gets late, and the disciples tell him to send the people on their way so they can get something to eat. But Jesus' compassion won't let him send the crowd away hungry. So, what does he do? He tells the disciples, you feed them. And they manage to find some fishes and loaves, and Jesus blesses them. And the disciples feed the people. And it says, everyone ate, and everyone was satisfied. Do you see this pattern? Jesus sees the people, and he has compassion on them. And then he puts his students to work. Well, that's us. God has given all of us blessings and authority and calling and gifts, and they are not for our own benefit. They are for each other and neighbors and strangers and enemies. And I don't know how to love people unconditionally. And I don't know what it will look like when we do this individually and as a church. I don't know how to do this, but I do know how to ask for help. So, let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. And thank you for your laws and commandments. You call us to be your sons and daughters, and we say yes. Jesus, we are sorry when our love is anemic at best and non-existent at worst. Please forgive us. Will you give us your compassionate heart for other people? And then will you bless us with your unconditional love for them? Every day, will you show us who to love and how to do it? not for our glory, but for yours. Holy Spirit, please help. Keep us on track, and don't let us hide out of fear or apathy. Help us cultivate this love daily. Thank you. We love you, God, and we trust you, God. Amen.